Hello, you're listening to Sarah Jackman presenting this week's episode of Bricks and Mortar. At the end of March, the UK went into lockdown. Employees began working from home, and things that had previously been done in person started to take place remotely. The RICS was no exception, and its face-to-face APC assessments soon transitioned to an online platform. To discuss this, I'm joined by Jill Quinn, Assessment Support Manager at the RICS, and Roy Albert, a lead valuer in the Wales and West Regional Valuation Unit at the Valuation Office Agency. Jill and Roy, many thanks indeed for joining me today. Roy, congratulations on your recent qualification as a Chartered Surveyor. You must be delighted to be RICS accredited now.
Oh yes, I am over the moon. It's been a long journey for me. So in respect of getting my congratulatory email, that was basically the top of my 2020, to say the least.
I can imagine. Are you able to take me through that journey? When did you start studying, and what pathway did you go down, and what choices have you made over the last few years?
Originally, I started with the level 4 NVQ. Mm-hmm. At the, what we used to call the REN service. That was some time ago, because I had no other route to get in a chartered membership. I didn't have an accredited degree. From the NVQ, I went on to do the Associated RICS, which I received in 2014. But still without an accredited degree, I had to wait on the Valuation Office, who was in discussion with the RICS, in receiving something that could get me or get people like myself onto that pathway. So I did the evaluation pathway, and then we had the apprenticeship route, whereby I carried on my degree with the University of College of Estate Management in Reading. I had to do my degree, and 2 years into my degree, I started my APC. So I did them simultaneously.
So in terms of your APC, presumably you'd put in to take your exam, you'd done your case study, and you, I'm guessing, had a date that was post-March 2020. Were you expecting to take your assessment in an assessment centre? Were you all geared up for that? And how did the pandemic change things?
Yes, even before I had my submission ready or my case study ready, mm-hmm. I did had some informal mocks, which was obviously in person because that was the whole intention. So I attended workshops in London. I attended workshops in-house through the Valuation Office. And we sat down and we had a set of like the atmosphere in respect of having three panel members sat down opposite yourself. Mm-hmm. So I was geared up for that type of platform in respect of kind of my interview. Mm-hmm. So following the pandemic and following the announcement that that might be a potential no, and we might go online, it was a bit scary to say the least. I thought different things came to mind as to I'm not ready for that type of seating. And I was growing in confidence in respect of having a mock whereby I was sat opposite somebody else and I wasn't prepared for anything online.
So when you found out then that the exam was going to become remote, how did you feel about it?
There was a bit of panic. Part of me thought that might be better in respect of I'll be in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah.
I don't have to travel the night before and probably get lost or be late. there was a bit of a positive mentality that there is a pro to this part of platform of interview.
Yeah.
However, my main concern was things like technical issues, because we're always told when you're presenting your case study, avoid any gadgets. You do it with an A3 flip chart just in case. However, with the pandemic, we're starting to think of, well, it has to be done through an online platform. So that was worrying in itself. And then I started hearing different updates as to if you go through your sitting and there's some issues or too much of a delay, then you can have it postponed. So that was worrying in itself, mm-hmm. and for me and other people.
So you made the decision, though, despite some initial anxieties about it, to go ahead. Did you find it relatively easy to switch to an online date instead?
Yes, it was. I think a lot of my anxiety was removed due to the communication between the RICS and myself. I think that was very important in respect of putting me at ease. We had a lot of information, a lot of instructions, not in a way that it was overreading. It was based, it was very succinct in what was expected from us. So in respect of the massive positive for me was that we had the emails to say that's what's going to happen. These are the instructions. Any questions, you go to this person or that person. And that put me at ease. There were certain times I was thinking, oh, I hope there's not too many emails where I missed one. Even saying that, there's a lot of information saying to us what's expected next. So this is your email. You'll be getting another email. And this is what it's going to be about. So there's a lot of easing you into the whole process whereby you don't feel like you have anything else to worry about other than what's next.
So it was all fairly straightforward, well documented, and you felt confident going into it on the day.
Absolutely. I think the biggest praise for the RICS really is the orientation the night before. There were some technical issues with my laptop. But the team, they did not log off until that was sorted. So my advice to anyone with some anxiety about it, nothing is left, no stone is left unturned in respect of what you're going to do for that day. They make sure everything is sorted for you.
Just on the day itself, I mean, how did you find the experience of doing it online? Was it comparable to what you'd been preparing for in terms of a face-to-face?
Wasn't to a certain extent, but I think different people revise or study differently. For me, I felt what went really well is networking. I became part of like the Property Elite, Surveyors Hub, Matrix, WhatsApp groups, social meetings. And what that does, it kind of gets you amongst other people at the same stage as yourself. So you have a mixture of people in the same level as yourself, and you have people giving you mocks who are obviously more advanced than yourself. So you have a good mix. And my advice really is to get as much networking as possible because it is there. It is available. It's about speaking to people and finding out what is available. And a few of my questions on the day was based on speaking to other people. So that went well for me in respect of networking. And my case study, I pitched my case study probably over 50 times and more. For me, what I wanted to create was I could be so confident after pitching my case study at my interview that the rest of the interview might be a bit easier emotionally and mentally for me. So I needed to get that right.
So you felt then that you were able to get everything across that you'd hoped that you would have done in the original format that you'd intended to do the interview in. There were no sort of negatives on the day to actually doing it online. Everything worked smoothly, presumably, with the IT. It sounds like you got everything resolved the night before. So was it then a sort of fairly seamless experience on the day itself?
It was. As I said, the night before, I did have some issues. I think I logged out about 9 p.m. Well, that's when it was sorted. My mic was working. My camera was working. Mm-hmm. On the day, there is a lot of things you kind of get anxious about apart from the interview, such as you don't want the postman knocking on your door. You don't want the neighbor probably knocking on your door, kind of have a pint of sugar, whatever. Even on the day, next door neighbor was kind of some work in his garden. He was doing some woodwork, and I had to go out to say to him, you know, between 11 and 12 or 12:30, and he's like, he was fine about it. So there's a lot of little checkpoints you need to get out of the way. And getting your family out for the day and tell them don't come back till 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of notes you need to make. So these things kind of put you under pressure, but it's some of the things that's mentioned to you when we go through the walkthrough with the RICS. You get pointers and tips. So on the day, apart from the bit of a noisy neighbor doing some work, it was seamless. However, I did get accepted into the interview room about 2 minutes later than schedule. So that was a bit worrying for me.
Just that sort of initial moment of concern. And because everything is so crucial with the timing, isn't it?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Jill, perhaps I can bring you in now. RICS made the decision earlier on this year to move all its APC examinations online. And as I understand it, as at last week, 487 people had gained qualified status through the new digital platform, and a further 539 more assessments are scheduled to take place. How does that compare to the same period last year?
It's probably on a par with last year. I know that in the UK, globally, it's slightly up. So we've had a few more sitting than we expected globally. But in the UK, I'd say it was around the same. At the point of making the decision, we had 1,100 candidates to sit in the UK. So it was a real crunch point to make that decision at the point at which we did, to say, you know, the choices here are we move online or we cancel 1,100 candidates' interviews. So it did happen very quickly. We're now actually 1,029 in, and we've got just 173 to go this week.
Okay, so almost there.
Yeah.
And from your perspective, how well has the new platform worked? Are you able to offer, do you think, the same level of assessment that you would have done ordinarily?
Yes, I think we do. The measure for that, I suppose, is the pass rate. So the pass rate is exactly on par with what we would expect for session one. So that's a good measure for us that we're getting it right. It's different, but I feel confident that the assessment that the candidates are getting is as robust as it always has been. We audit around about 20% of our interviews anyway. So we're kind of doing a constant monitoring, really, to make sure. And of course, what we've been doing as well is we've had staff observers on every single interview. So that's also been helpful. I mean, we did it to make sure that we knew how it was working properly, and to manage the technical aspects and the procedural aspects. But what that's also given us, of course, is a really good insight into how the interviews have been going. And we had to act so quickly at the beginning that every single interview was really informing the next interview, because we'd picked the process up so quickly, and it was very well planned and very well prepared, but we found out every single day something that would help us the next day.
Yeah. And how did the technical side of things stand up for you? Has that been quite stable and the platform has worked quite well?
It has worked really well. I'm just blown away by how well it's gone. We picked up Skype because some of our colleagues in some of our other global markets had been using Skype for interviews, albeit on a much less scale, you know, much smaller scale than we were anticipating using it. So, of course, what we had in place already were the training materials, the screenshots, the documents and everything. So we picked up Skype. Had we had another month or so, we'd have been on Teams. So we know that Skype, you know, has some limitations, but it's held up really, really well. Out of the 1,000 or so that we've done, we've had 4 candidates who were not able to sit on the day that they wanted to. And that was due to a connectivity problem, actually at their end rather than through the assessors or through Skype. So it's held up extremely well.
Okay. And how has the change been received by your assessors? Have they all adapted to it quite quickly as well?
Phenomenally. And I did have some reservations at the beginning because it was such a paradigm shift from what everybody has been used to for such a long time. And what I was really impressed with was that assessors just came forward and said, yeah, go on then, let's do it. And they have been well prepared, though. I'd say I've had 800 surveyors in my kitchen and living room over the last 3 months, because I've just been doing pretty much wall-to-wall briefings with them all, getting them ready and just letting them know what they can expect so that they can focus on the assessment, the competency assessment, and we can handle the process and the technical aspects. So I think with their reservations or sort of trepidation, I think more than anything, then I think we've kind of put that to rest. They've come on, they've done it, and the feedback then has been very, very positive.
Okay. And just thinking then in terms of feedback, what's the feedback been amongst candidates who've passed the exam using the new digital platform?
Yeah, that's been good as well. So we had 4 candidates out of the 1,100 who decided they didn't want to do it by video. So at that point, they're deferred to session 2. But of course, we've made the decision now that those assessments will also be by video. So we've been in touch with those 4 candidates already and just told them what support we will give them to get them ready so that they feel comfortable coming forward. Some candidates, as you would expect, have said it was okay. They would have preferred face-to-face. But a large number, interestingly, have also said how much they preferred the video interview. And many of them, of course, have heard the horror stories of the room of doom or the corridor of doom, you know, the sort of the waiting in the waiting room for that dreaded moment to come. So I think some people actually have found it a bit more palatable to be able to do it from their home, from their, some of them from their office. So, yeah, so that feedback has been very good. And I think the firms as well have been very, very supportive of the decisions that we made and also how we've supported their candidates.
And in terms then, given that it has been such a positive experience, what are your plans in terms of online assessment going forward?
That's where we're going. We're going online now. And I think, you know, the RSCS have been very keen to improve our digital interaction. And this has just accelerated it, to be honest with you. And I think the realisation when we got to about the halfway point in the UK, we had already got well into that point globally. So, you know, it wasn't just the UK that drove that decision. It was a global decision. So our colleagues overseas had already had the same similar feedback. The success, the platform had held up. We knew what we were doing. The assessors were being positive. So the decision has now been made. We are going to do our assessments online through video. There may be some exceptions. We have to take into account, you know, some of the special considerations we need to make for candidates and assessors alike. But on the whole, they will be video interviews from now on.
Okay. And just in terms then of your model, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned the international piece. Were you able to pick up on this so readily back in March because you effectively had the building blocks in place from your experience of interviewing overseas candidates?
Yeah, I mean, we had great feedback and insight from those people to let us know how it would work. As I say, not on the scale. It hadn't been done on this scale. But it was great because we were able to get their feedback. We were able to, you know, I spoke with colleagues in Canada who had done it, and they gave me some really good insight into what to look out for and so on. But the other, I suppose, in a way, the unforeseen advantage that came out of this as well is that some of our candidates are sitting on pathways that we would describe as quite niche pathways. In other words, there aren't, you know, a huge number of candidates coming forward. And for that reason, we have a commensurate lack of assessors in those pathways. However, we've been able to go out to colleagues in India and Europe, and they've actually joined us on the assessment interviews. And we've been able to give names as well to some colleagues in the Middle East who were looking for specific pathway assessors. So I feel like this has really given us that opportunity to really be global. You know, we've been able to facilitate that process, and it's worked to the benefit of the candidates for sure.
So that's really interesting. One of the consequences of this, a positive benefit, has been that it's really sort of widened your talent pool in terms of assessors. And
And if I can say as well, Sarah, in terms of diversity, it's been really interesting because the classic sort of assessor model, I mean, it varies for different people, but very often it means traveling to a venue the night before, sitting all day and then travelling back home. Now, that doesn't suit everybody's circumstances. And this time round, because we've been on video, we've actually been able to bring back assessors who, for family reasons, for example, they can't make that kind of commitment. It just doesn't work for them. Yes. But it does work for them in this way. And that's been phenomenal for me, because it's just kind of made me realise, wow, you know, we have got access now to a much more diverse assessor base, if you like. So that's also been not completely unexpected. I sort of hope that might happen, but it's been really good to hear that.
And so assessments now, apart from the odd instance which you just mentioned, will be exclusively online going forward. How far or how quickly has that brought forward or accelerated existing plans? When would that otherwise have happened had it not been for the pandemic?
I think it's fair to say it would have been a way off. And you know, I've thought personally through this that if we'd asked people if they'd like to do it, it wouldn't have happened for a long time. But we were forced into a position where we sort of had to just pick it up and go with it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why I think it's accelerated it. And what, of course, we've also seen during this period is that those people who at the beginning of lockdown would be like, there's no way I'm doing a video interview on Skype. Mm-hmm. By the time we get around to the assessments, most people have already become quite familiar with Zoom and Teams and Skype and all the rest of it. And so that transition or that mind shift wasn't quite so difficult, because there were other forces at work at the same time.
I'm just thinking for both of you, really, in terms of advice that you have for someone taking their exams remotely, what would you say to them? Jill, perhaps I could start with you.
Sure. We have, as Roy mentioned, we've put a lot in place to make sure that we support assessors and candidates alike. And so we've been providing candidate briefings a week before the assessment. So I would really tell candidates who are coming forward in session two, really make the most of that. And then, as Roy mentioned, we've also been running orientation evenings the night before every assessment. So candidates who are sitting on a given day can come the night before for a sort of an hour, or in Roy's case, 2 or 3 hours, just as a kind of a well-being evening, really, just to help sort of reassure people, settle some nerves. We've actually been working in conjunction with Lionheart as well, and doing some well-being and some relaxation techniques. Yeah. But what we've also been able to do is ensure that those candidates who are sitting the next day have had every opportunity to make sure their camera and microphone is working, that they know what the panel are going to ask of them, and that they know what to expect. So for anyone coming forward in session two, make sure that you really make the most of all those support mechanisms that we've got in place.
That's interesting, actually. I mean, you mentioned the sort of night before and the emphasis that you're now putting on well-being and, you know, the opportunity to access IT and so on the night before. Would that have been available previously?
Well, that's really interesting, because at the last session, which was session 2, 2019, we decided that we would trial this the night before, and we did it at Heathrow. Any candidates who were there ready for their sitting the next day could come along. But of course, we could only reach those candidates that could come to Heathrow the night before or were at Heathrow the night before.
Yeah.
This time, we've been able to access every single candidate the night before if they choose to take it up. So that has really brought something that we very, very much wanted to do, but resource-wise, it was particularly difficult to do.
Yeah, it's another sort of extended benefit, if
you will. Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And Roy, just your final thoughts in terms of advice for people who are coming to the online APC examination.
For me, I thought it's less nerves doing it online. I was sat in my kitchen. I didn't have to travel the night before. Don't have to worry about not finding the location, being lost, what have you. That worked for me. The panel was great. It's the same feedback from quite a lot of my colleagues. And the chairman, they realized that it's something new. So the introduction always aimed to put the candidate at ease. For me, my panel was very emphatic that, you know, this is new to you. This is new to us. we're going to do our best to make this relaxing for yourself. So that's another aspect that worked really well for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of candidates ask about how I'm going to present my case study. Again, that's not an issue. It's as if it's the same thing, but in that case, you don't even need a flip chart. So there's a lot of things doing it online, as robust as it is still a way of saying that actually there's a lot of different stresses that you would not be dealing with now that you sat in your kitchen or your bedroom mm-hmm. or your living room.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both very much indeed for your thoughts on that. It's been a really interesting conversation. And Roy, I'm delighted to hear that you're now accredited. And what are the next steps for you in terms of your real estate career?
Well, I mean, I was born and raised in the Caribbean. It's a very small island. And I was always fascinated with the architecture of the properties in England. So I want to try to share some of my expertise in my island, and I want to help other people. So I'm now part of an ambassador for the Lionheart, mm-hmm. which I've read what they've done, which is excellent, and I want to be part of that. So my career, I'm hoping that it isn't just related to England, to my island, and to other professionals as well coming through.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds really interesting. Thank you both very much indeed for joining me today. It's been fantastic to hear your thoughts on the experience and the transition to the online platform.
Thank you. Sarah.
For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and related content at egi.co.uk.